Hi, it's Matt Harris, host of this podcast, and so happy for the support. I want to let you know that I use Anchor, and you too can use Anchor and make your podcast. You record and edit right from your phone or computer when you use Anchor, and you can even add any song from Spotify. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Thank you.
Impact of Influence, the tragic story of a powerful South Carolina family and the mysterious deaths that they are linked to.
Once again, thank you, and we are so happy to have you back with us. The podcast has been more of a success than we ever dreamed, and hopefully it will lead to some sort of justice for all those involved. And we want to ask you to reach out to us with any information you have, or maybe things that you hear us say that you don't think were said correctly. We're more than happy to hear from you. Join Seton Tucker on Seton Tucker's Facebook page, S-E-T-O-N Tucker. Matt Harris from the Matt and Ramona Show on 107.9 WLNK through Facebook, or mattharris1028@gmail.com. In this episode, Connor Cook's deposition from 2020. We will get to that. There's some really interesting things in that. Also, we're going to talk to an attorney who works in that area and some of her thoughts on the various cases that are all tied up with the Murdoch family, the boating accident, Stephen Smith, etc. Seton, hello.
Hello.
So the latest we want to start with, by the way, is the news that broke out just a few days ago. Actually, as we're recording this, it was one day ago, about Duffy Stone, the 14th Circuit solicitor, and the fact that Duffy has recused himself from the investigation into the June double homicide of Paul Murdoch and his mother, Maggie. And give us the facts on what happened here.
Okay, so on August 11th, he sent a letter citing the events of today's lead investigation of the homicides of Paul and Maggie Murdoch. I am asking you to assume all prosecutorial functions in this matter immediately.
There. That's you know, people have been saying he should recuse himself from prosecuting the cases because of how tight he is with the Murdoch family. He's basically handpicked by them to replace the senior Murdoch who had died, or decided not to run, I should say.
Right, and they donated to his campaign, and, you know, he had ties to the family. But back in June, he said, "To my knowledge, there is no clear suspect in the case at this time." So since he said that back in June, it kind of makes you wonder, is there a suspect? I mean, they have no suspect, you know, nobody's been arrested, so we don't know what happened on August 11th in the investigation that made him decide that he no longer needed to be involved.
I talked to an attorney who speculated that maybe he's just getting ahead of it. Maybe he, you know, being so tight with the Murdochs, they could be constantly asking him, what's happening, what's happening, what's happening? And the more that he gets asked, the more he might release that shouldn't be released. This way he just walks away. He talked to an ethics professor from USC Law School and used him as a consultant and said that with that conversation, he discovered that maybe it's best to walk away. It's very possible he's going to have to be deposed in the lawsuit that may happen with Connor Cook's family citing a conspiracy with a lot of the DNR officers and SLED and that sort of thing. So he might have to appear in that court case. So maybe he just decided there's too much. I would hate to have somebody get off on some sort of technicality because I didn't handle something right.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty responsible for him to have this consultant and really being on top of it and making the decision to do it was probably, obviously, he had a reason to do that. But now that there is more active litigation with Connor Cook's suit and all of that, it probably is a lot.
Yes. And again, thank you, Island Packet, for reporting on this.
And Post and Courier.
Yes. And it was 2006 when Stone took over the office that three generations of Murdochs had served in that role. And then it was 2 years ago, for those who have been paying attention, when Mallory Beach went missing after the boat crashed into a bridge near Paris Island. And Stone had almost immediately stepped away from that investigation And it was an ethical decision he decided at that point because the boat's occupants were related to employees in Stone's office. So he has stepped away now. So that brings us to the deposition that was released just a few weeks, or actually from the time of this recording, about a week ago, of Connor Cook that was taken in 2020 about the boating accident. There's other episodes on the boating accident in our podcast. You can check back and find out more. The boating accident that killed Mallory Beach in 2019, where eventually Paul Murdoch, who has since been murdered, was charged with boating under the influence, involving a death and two counts of boating under the influence with injury. This document is pretty interesting, and I want to ask you first, though, Seton, why was this deposition even taken? Who took the deposition, not specifically the attorney or whatever, but why was Connor Cook giving this deposition back in, I think it was January of 2020 or December 2020?
So this was part of the civil litigation filed by Renee Beach, Mallory Beach's mother.
Okay, so that's why, because this SLED has, or DNR, I should say, has maintained that Connor Cook has never given them a statement. This statement was not officially to DNR. This was a part of the civil lawsuit.
Yes.
Okay, so what are the major takeaways from this deposition?
Okay, so my first major takeaway is that he was told to keep his mouth shut by Alec Murdoch when he was in the hallway, and told him to basically say he didn't know he was driving the boat. Now, this was corroborated in we went over in a previous episode, some of the nurse's statements.
Okay, what else are the big takeaways?
Okay, he told Anthony that he was scared that the Murdochs were trying to pin it on him.
Okay.
So he says that in his deposition, and he also says that he changed his story when he found out someone was trying to pin it on him.
And we were wondering where he got that idea, and then we find in the deposition the incident in the ambulance.
Right, so he and Miley, we knew this before, were riding in the ambulance with Paul, and he is talking to his grandfather, and he tells his grandfather, when the grandfather asks who was driving, he says, Cotton Top, and that was Connor's nickname.
Right, so that's when Connor says in this deposition, he started to think that, wait, what's going on here, basically? I'm paraphrasing.
He says he's nodding his head no, and Miley is nodding her head no.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what else do we take from Connor's deposition?
Well, he also says that he was scared to, mentions multiple times he was scared to tell the truth. And when asked why, he says, well, I was told to, and being who they are, I was doing what I was told.
Okay, so he had the intimidation, feels kind of intimidated, is what you read into that. The takeaway or opinion I have on that is that it doesn't necessarily mean, and I talked to a couple of attorneys about this, that what Alec was doing was this really nefarious, awful, try to trick people thing. It's possible, but it's also possible, my attorney friend said, if they were an attorney and they were there and it was a friend of theirs, a friend of their sons, they would have said the same thing. Don't talk.
Well, any attorney, we've discussed this before, any attorney tells you not to talk.
Now, it could be, you know, Alec, we don't know the intent of Alec, if it was a complete cover up or if it was, hey, I just don't, this is what I'm in lawyer mode. You guys don't talk.
You know, but he's not mentioning it. It's almost like he's scared. He doesn't say, he said them being who they are. He doesn't say any specific name.
True. Them could be Paul, Alec, Grandpa, all the Murdochs.
Right. It could be anybody.
So that brings us to one of the real big takeaways or big splashes that was made with his deposition. And we will give it to you. As we read down the deposition, Seton, you can handle the questions from the attorney, and I will be answering with the answers that Connor Cook gave.
Okay, so do you know anything else, any other incidents that would cause you concern?
Yes, sir.
What's that?
There's a couple of things that had happened in Hampton that I'd heard about.
What's that?
Well, one was said that Paul had pushed his housemate down the stairs and she died and nothing ever happened. And another one, there was something that Paul was supposedly involved with a guy, got found beat up in the middle of the road that they got out of.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't say, and he says he doesn't know names. He goes on that they ask him specifics about that and he doesn't know specifics.
One of the interesting things is, or something I should point out, is that this deposition from Connor was taken before everything became national news. This story wasn't in People magazine and in podcasts and whatnot. So the rumors of the tragedies or untimely deaths that surrounded the Murdochs was well known in that community.
Right. Alan Packett was reporting on it, but it was not national news right at that point.
So we're treading lightly. That's what's weird about this, because we want to tread lightly on rumor. But the fact that he believed it to be true, that's not a rumor, because he believed it to be true. And there were rumors. And we assume that the case with a housekeeper falling down the stairs to her death is Satterfield.
Well, it could be, but you know, we've mentioned right in our other podcast that Maggie and Paul were mentioned in her obituary as almost like family. Right. So, I mean, that...
Well, it doesn't have to be true, and it just has to be that there was a rumor. A rumor isn't necessarily true. It's just something that Connor says in his deposition he had heard.
They have never been convicted or indicted on any of these charges.
And if you're wondering what the Satterfield situation we're talking about is, this Gloria Satterfield, who was, she was young, and she fell and died on Alec Murdoch's property, and there was a lawsuit that came from it.
There's a settlement on their homeowner's insurance.
Yes. And the person who we think, I think it's fair to think that Connor thinks he's talking about, that was beaten in the middle of the road, according to his deposition. A rumor doesn't mean the rumor's true, but the fact that he believed it was true means there was a rumor. Lines up with the Stephen Smith case, where Stephen Smith's death was ruled a hit and run, but there were law enforcement officials who believed it to be something else. Right. And that's on a podcast as well.
And the other question I have, I know they grew up together, but I'm also like, why are you hanging out with someone if they have pushed someone down the stairs and involved in a potential beating? I mean, if you believe these to be true, I don't know. Well, I mean, I know they grew up together. People at that age don't always make the best decisions, but...
Of course, also, just to play all the angles, maybe Connor didn't hear about those till after
the boating accident. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
People are like, you better not say anything. You know what happened is da 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 da. Now, that's possible, but it's also possible that he heard the rumors. He didn't really, you know, put much stock in them, but the Murdochs, you know, they had boats, they had a place to stay, they had a hunting area, and we know that they all the kids on the boat had hunting licenses, I believe all of them.
Yeah, they were all...
Which is just normal in that area.
Outdoors.
So, you know, you're young, we've all had some friends that probably our parents wish we weren't hanging out with. So those are the big takeaways from Connor's deposition. The other news that has come out from the Island Packet, and the writer is Drew Martin. Miley Altman, her boyfriend, Connor Cook, who we're at the deposition of, did a one-hour sit-down with DNR, South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, and this was the night after the fatal accident, and like I said, it was an hour-long interview. This is 48 seconds of it right here.
Like, I never saw who was driving again.
Who was the last person you saw driving?
I'm pretty sure it was Paul. But, I mean, it could have been back and forth between it, because he was just, you know, not in his right mind. Like, he was just like, I need to drive and all this kind of stuff. He was, like I said, he's very persistent with driving. So, I'm pretty sure. Because I don't know that for a fact, because I was still standing, like, I was still facing forward, like, I wasn't, like, you know, constantly looking back, mm-hmm. but, like, as I was looking forward, like, the last person I saw was him, so.
Okay.
So she believes that Paul was the driver, but she says she doesn't know for a fact.
She says, one of the quotes, if you couldn't pick it up, was, "I'm very sure it was Paul, but it could have been back and forth between them, Connor and Paul. I wasn't constantly looking back," because she was comforting Dowdy. So
she does mention in her written statement that she looked back.
Yes.
And it also, we have to note that we are missing the audio of Anthony Cook from that evening.
There you go. That brings us to our guest. She is Susan Williams, a South Carolina native, very familiar with the Murdochs in that area. Defense attorney, former prosecutor. Hello, Susan.
Hi, Matt. Hi, Seton.
Hello, Susan. Mm. I know you're very familiar with that area. So I've seen a lot of public outcry of why it took so long for it to come to trial. Paul was involved in a boating accident back in February of 2019, and when he was found dead in June of 2021, it still had not come to trial.
Is that a normal length of time?
Well, yes and no. The typical time frame for three counts of felony boating under the influence when we're not in COVID is about 1 to 2 years. It doesn't move as fast as what we see on TV shows like CSI or Forensic Files or whatever it is folks are watching. But on TV, we see an arrest, a few meetings with lawyers,
yeah,
a trial, and a verdict all in less than an hour. And that's just not really the way it works at all.
So I would also ask you this question. Did COVID or could COVID have affected the delay on prosecution?
Right, right. So the courts shut down. They opened and shut down completely, that we were going virtual at some point. But just last week, Charleston County had their first jury trial that they've had in just about a year and a half. The other part of this with COVID is SLED. The evidence has to be processed by SLED, the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, which, as you know, is the equivalent of the FBI in South Carolina. And they, too, were affected by this pandemic. So, you know, simple drug analysis for one of my cases may take 3 to 6 months in non-COVID times. And now it may take, it's probably backed up at least a year. And that's just for, I'm saying for my cases. I'm not saying there were any drug tests that I know of in the Murdoch case.
The other thing we want to bring up is an article that was in the Island Packet. The headline, "Here's what Paul Murdoch's defense lawyers plan to argue during boat crash trial." So they went on record as saying what their defense is going to be. What do you have out of there that jumped out at you, Seton?
Well, so his attorneys say that they were confident in his defense, that they believed that there wasn't enough evidence for him to be convicted guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And they also say Paul steadfastly maintained that he wasn't driving the boat when it crashed.
In the article, it says the strategy was disputing the conclusions from his blood draw, and also the jury being swayed by the publicity, and also that there was confusion. In fact, DNR files, they say, show passengers of the boat gave conflicting statements to investigators about who was driving when they crashed. At the time, the investigators were unsure whether it was Murdoch or Connor Cook. That was what the defense was going to paint. And Susan, we bring you back in, Susan Williams. We seem to think there was confusion. Do you agree with that?
There was definitely some confusion. Whether it was bad faith or good faith remains to be seen. Right. So first of all, the attorney general would have to prove that Paul was under the influence while driving or operating that boat at the time of the boat crash, and that he caused Mallory Beach's death, Connor Cook's, and Morgan Dowdy's injuries.
So one of the things the prosecutor would have to prove is that Paul was impaired at the time. What would you do as a defense attorney?
I would bring in an expert witness, a chemist, someone from out of state with no ties to South Carolina or the Murdochs, so an impartial party who has testified before for both the prosecution and the state to testify about the blood draw, the chain of custody, the time the blood was taken versus the time of the accident. And his blood alcohol level was likely steadily increasing with those shots at Luther's of Jaeger Bomb and Lemon Drop. his blood alcohol level was likely increasing as he got closer to Archer's Creek. So they would, an expert could explain that. And then once they get to the hospital, the manner of the blood draw, the search warrant, the chain of custody, the temperature it was kept, that can do with clotting, the manner the tube was sealed and stored. Then we've got the whole establishing reasonable doubt that Paul was not the driver. And then the third thing that I would go on is that, as any defense lawyer would, criticize or look at the missing or insufficient evidence of each of the law enforcement agencies.
And again, we want to point out, and I know that we talked, Susan, that because some evidence was missing, we talked about Paul's pants and a taped interview, that doesn't necessarily mean it was bad faith. There's a lot of agencies working on this, so it could have been mistakes in that part, so we're not going to get into that at this moment.
Well, one thing I kind of wanted to go over is we've mentioned in previous episodes that some of the DNR officers had some connections with the Murdoch family. So I was just hoping that you might could go over some of those.
Yeah, some of the DNR officers, as well as the Beaufort County Sheriff's Office. But first, I want to put out there, we don't know if these officers' actions were intentional, unintentional, error, small town, working under extreme time constraints, limited resources, multiple agencies. With that being said, Pritchard played in a golf tournament sponsored by the Murdoffs. One officer hunted with the Murdoffs, which may not seem like a big deal if you're not from South Carolina or you're not a hunter or familiar with the hunting in South Carolina. Moselle is 1,670 acres, which is like over three times of the size of the city of Charleston, private hunting land, perfect for deer hunters, bird hunters, turkey hunters. Even women hunt in South Carolina. It's a real privilege to hunt on land like this that is not overhunted by, say, hunt clubs. They may have buck management. Some private lands have, landowners have rules that the owners will allow you to shoot, but only, you know, if it only has certain points on one side. But some real trophy bucks to be hunted out there on Moselle, I can imagine. Of course, I've never been there, but deer hunting with an officer, that's why I wanted to highlight. That's kind of a big deal if that officer was in the hunting.
There's a few other connections we talk about in one of the previous episodes as well, but I want to get to the response that DNR came out with to Connor Cook's attorney's allegations that there might be a conspiracy. What do you have, Seton?
Well, so they actually called it potentially frivolous, which I found, you know, pretty strong words there. And he says, as Connor Cook's testimony reveals, he lied early on and often to investigators, refusing even to this day to provide a statement to South Carolina DNR indicating he knew Paul was driving.
And in the deposition, you hear why he didn't talk to them. One of the reasons why was he a little afraid, and also that Mr. Murdoch had told him, Alec had said, don't talk. So I also, as we start to wrap up here, Susan Williams, South Carolina native, defense attorney, former prosecutor, are you at all surprised that we haven't had some solution to the murders of Paul and Maggie Murdoch? And why do you think that could be?
Because we are still in this COVID backlog with SLED, the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, they are backed up beyond belief due to COVID. They know that this case is in the public eye. They know that it's in, and they are going to do everything they can. They're not going to rush this case or any other case. They're going to do it a fine job. They're going to do a thorough job. And if and when they decide to release anything, then we'll know. But until then, they're not saying anything to preserve the integrity of their investigation. And that's normal.
Susan Williams, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. Is there any, would you like, if people want to get in contact with you, how would they do that?
My website is www.swilliams-law.net. And great. My office is located in Somerville, South Carolina. You can find me online at Carolina Lady Lawyer on Instagram. Thanks so much for having me.
It's been a pleasure, Susan. Susan Williams also has a YouTube channel, by the way, where she talks about the Murdaugh case. You can go to YouTube, type in Susan Williams Murdaugh or something like that and find it. We are out for this episode. We will be back when something breaks. Seton Tucker, thank you. Seton Tucker on Facebook, Seton Tucker. Matt Harris, 1028 at gmail.com. Also from the Matt and Ramona show on WLNK. We will talk soon.